Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Hello again, everybody. Coming up in 10 minutes, a call-in for dual citizens now that Senator Ted Cruz has renounced his Canadian-ness to run for president. But first, what do we learn about gender identity from Bradley, now Chelsea, Manning, the former U.S. Army private in Iraq, sentenced to 35 years in a military prison this week for handing those thousands of classified documents to WikiLeaks? Manning announced yesterday he has felt like a woman since childhood and is now declaring himself a woman officially and wants to be given hormone therapy in prison, as well as to be called Chelsea Manning for the rest of her life. And what pronoun to use is becoming an issue in journalism, and we'll talk about that too. With me now is Michael Silverman, Executive Director of the Transgender Legal Defense and Education Fund. Thank you very much for coming on.
Brian, thank you so much for having me on.
As the AP put it, gender identity disorder, the sense of being a woman trapped in a man's body, was key to Bradley Manning's defense. So what is meant there by gender identity disorder, which makes it sound like an illness rather than merely his gender identity?
Well, the term gender identity disorder has actually been replaced by one called gender dysphoria most recently. And what that describes is essentially the definition that the AP gave. It is a sense that individuals have a very strong identification as male or female when that identification doesn't match their external anatomy. And Chelsea Manning's description, to the extent we've been able to parse it from the limited public statements, appears to match what people who have gender dysphoria experience in their lives.
And about that term, gender identity disorder, Jack Drescher, a New York psychiatrist who was part of the American Psychiatric Association's work group on gender identity, told USA Today, quote, "Usually with a mental disorder, we try and change the person's mind. This is the only mental disorder where the treatment is changing the body. In a typical mental disorder, we try to make those symptoms go away. Here, the treatment has emerged to align the person's body to match their gender identity." Is that a good, clear explanation?
Well, I think the explanation of the treatment is, again, we've moved away from terms like disorder and any characterizations of this as an illness. This is a naturally occurring state that many, many people experience, far more than most people realize. In fact, the best census studies that I've seen on the transgender populations show numbers that approach 1% of the population, which is a small percentage of the population overall, but probably larger than most people actually expect.
Manning is asking for hormone therapy while behind bars, but not a sex change operation. What does the hormone therapy do on its own?
Well, a few things. I mean, hormone therapy will change an individual's secondary sex characteristics. So for someone who's a transgender woman like Chelsea Manning, that would mean softening of the skin. It would mean, in conjunction with hormone blockers, that is to stop the production of testosterone, diminution of male secondary sex characteristics like facial and body hair, softening of the skin, development of breasts, things of that nature. What it does for people, though, on a deeper level is really addresses the dysphoria that they experience by allowing their external bodies to come into line with who they know themselves to be. That relieves a tremendous amount of stress, anxiety, and depression that people experience at tremendous levels.
Right. And maybe it's worth defining the word dysphoria. General unhappiness is the opposite of euphoria.
Exactly. Exactly. And people who experience gender dysphoria that is untreated, it is similar to not treating any other medical condition. That is, they will suffer serious consequences. And so it's quite important that people receive appropriate treatment.
Do you think it's going to be controversial whether or not he's given hormone therapy? What's the military's responsibility in this respect, in your opinion, and what have they acknowledged?
Unfortunately, I think it is going to be controversial, at least on a few levels. One, it's Chelsea Manning, and Chelsea Manning has been controversial since we first learned about her. And by that, I don't mean yesterday. I mean from the start of her case. So anytime we're dealing with ensuring that someone who is not universally well-liked or popular receives appropriate treatment, we're going to bump into controversy and resistance. On a deeper level, separate from Chelsea Manning, we find that getting appropriate treatment for transgender people, regardless of whether they are in prison or simply living their lives with nothing to do with the prison system, that is a controversial subject. We work with people all over the country who, one, have difficulty finding appropriate treatment. There just aren't that many providers who are knowledgeable or willing to offer it. And two, most insurance will not pay for it because it is perceived to be not medically necessary, which, of course, is untrue.
Is it an issue now where to house Chelsea Manning in a men's or women's prison?
I don't think it is because, again, based on what I've seen in the public reporting, she hasn't asked for anything different than what would ordinarily be the normal housing for a male prisoner. So she'll be at Leavenworth. I think that, another issue to be concerned about is really her safety in prison. Again, whatever it is that she is charged with and punished for, that punishment is not supposed to include additional or different abuse in prison because she is transgender. We do see a tremendous amount of violence directed against transgender prisoners throughout the prison system, and so that is a concern for her.
Now, as far as what pronoun by which to refer to Chelsea Manning, I just got a statement from National Public Radio, NPR in Washington, which says it will continue for now to refer to Private Manning as he, quote, until Bradley Manning's desire to have his gender changed actually physically happens, we will be using male-related pronouns to identify him, unquote, a statement from NPR. I should say, personally, I don't know that I'm inclined to follow that recommendation for this show. I'd rather probably call somebody by what they prefer to be called by. But what's your reaction to that?
I hope you'll follow your own guidance there and not NPR headquarters, because I think it's actually misguided. It's very hard for me to parse what they mean by until she physically changes. That could mean any number of things. And the popular misconception is that there is somehow a point at which a transgender person has, quote-unquote, completed their transition, and that point is somehow marked by some physical transformation. It isn't, and that doesn't exist. There is no one-size-fits-all for treating gender dysphoria. For some people, hormone therapy is going to ensure that they can live full and complete lives. Other people will require surgical interventions. Those surgical interventions aren't even necessarily what people think they might be. So we're not talking necessarily about genital surgery. For many transgender women, like Chelsea Manning, for example, facial surgery is much more important. That allows them, in many cases, to get down the street, to go about the business of their daily lives without people staring at them, without experiencing street harassment and ridicule, which allows them to live much more fully and completely in society. So I think this notion of a physical marker for Chelsea Manning, at which point NPR will refer to her as female, is probably not correct.
And I wonder, before you go, if you follow the trial with respect to gender identity issues relevant to the conviction. I mean, honestly, the things that I was reading and the people I was interviewing were all about how much damage from Manning's leaks, whether he was a spy, what to think about WikiLeaks, things like that. But I'm aware that the defense partly blamed the military's treatment of Manning for his actions, arguing that Manning did not receive adequate mental health support during a gender identity crisis, which I guess preceded his leaks. So what do you think about that, and should it have or have had any relevance to the sentencing?
Brian, I think one of the unfortunate parts of Chelsea Manning's case is that it's generated a lot more heat than light on transgender issues, and I think the trial was an example of that. You know, the plain fact is there have been thousands and thousands and thousands of transgender people who, despite the military's policy that says transgender people are not allowed to serve, period, right? We remain in a pre-don't ask, don't tell time for transgender people. Despite all that, they have served their country with honor and distinction. So I think a lot of transgender veterans, you know, bridle at the notion either way that somehow Chelsea Manning's gender identity, you know, was relevant to what went on either way. The fact is, though, that as we've seen in the military statements coming out, the military has some real issues that it needs to grapple with when it comes to transgender service members. Those are going to include things like whether and how to provide medical care for Chelsea Manning. Plain fact is, the Eighth Amendment, which prohibits cruel and unusual punishment, that applies to the military prison system as much as it does to the civilian prison system. And there have been a lot of courts in the civilian system that have said you must provide medical care, the kind that Chelsea Manning needs, for transgender prisoners.
Michael Silverman, Executive Director of the Transgender Legal Defense and Education Fund, on what we learn about gender identity from the case of Bradley, now Chelsea Manning. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.